All right, that's a good song. I think that's the first time I've ever heard that one. Good. If you look on your seat where we had the notes, you can find a lesson for tonight as we are doing our book of Jonah. So make sure you get the notes there. And then I've been talking about our whole new discipleship program. We put a new convert book together that's already been printed, and we received those. And then we're changing our discipleship. Wrote a whole new book, actually two of them, and the first one will go to print probably tomorrow. And so what I plan on doing is, probably starting in September as a church, we're going to go through that. And I want us to kind of get the concept, because the concept is I want us, first of all, to know the basics of the faith and have a clear understanding. And then I want us to be able to share that with others and help them. And so we will go through that. And so start preparing for that. And it is, as Joseph mentioned, we're not trying to be political, but it is very important that we as Christians vote, and we vote correctly. One of the reasons Christians don't, just to be real honest with you, they're more discipled by the news than they are the Bible. The average Christian, if you sit down and ask them the things they believe, there's not much different than someone who's unsaved. That's called a non-biblical worldview. We're supposed to have a Christian worldview. And all this freaking out and all this and the things people say, like, well, you shouldn't be political. Well, if I was in China, I wouldn't be. If I was in Laos, I wouldn't be. If I was in a communist country, you can't be. I'm in a country where we still have freedoms as of right now. And by the way, they're going away. I'm just trying to get us to think here. Okay, when this thing first happened, our governor said that he wants to use this to transform our country. That's why I don't trust him. Okay, and that's exactly what they're doing. But, like I say, I feel sorry for the people in Seattle. But that's what they deserve. They voted those people in. And we're getting what we deserve because we vote these people in. Because we're ignorant and we don't know things. Now, it may come a time, and it may be in November if things don't go well, where we're just going to have to start disobeying the government and it's going to be bad news. But that'll be because we voted the wrong people in. Okay. I don't go off on it. I used to read a lot more of this stuff. I keep up a little bit. I hardly on social media except to post stuff anymore because I'm just tired of hearing the nonsense. And because I already know what it is. And I want to have a good spirit like I just did not have for the last 3 minutes. But the point making is Christians, we're supposed to, number one, act like Christians. We're supposed to be the light of this world, and we can't have our heads stuck in the sand or on CNN. Okay, and so let's be very, very careful about that. You say, well, I don't like that, Pastor Miles. I wish I didn't have to say it, but I'm just concerned. You know, he's talking about the Lord coming. I wish he'd come tomorrow, but I'm feeling like guys feel before they were married. Lord, I want you to come, but wait until after I get married. Now I'm like, Lord, please come, but let us meet in the building first. Okay, unless you're going to give us a full refund in heaven. Man, I'm in there and I'm like, we'll put a video up out here. You guys can sit out here and I'll be in the auditorium because I'm excited about that auditorium. It's making me sick to my stomach. But anyhow, I'm in a good mood. I do love Jesus. Thank you for the good news. But I was focusing on the bad news. Now, let's go back to Jonah. And for just 2 weeks, Jonah, probably about 6-7 years ago, I did a series on Jonah, but I could go on and on and on and on about Jonah because there's so much good stuff in there. But I just wanted to give a little bit of an overview and have us look at this. I told you is when I see this, when I read the book of Jonah, I see a couple questions and I see the questions answered. Last week, we looked at the questions answered about God's man, which was Jonah, how God tried to deal with him and direct him, but Jonah was more interested in ditching God and disobeying him. And this week, we're going to look at the last two chapters, and we're going to answer questions about God's plan. Okay? God's plan. We saw last week when God was dealing with his man, Jonah didn't listen. He fought God's will. And then, chapter 2, a ray of light. He got right with God, and he got forgiven. So today, we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4. As I mentioned last week, As years ago when I was reading the book, I realized that if you read the first verse and the last verse of each chapter, you get a concept of what happened, and then the verses in between fill in the gaps. They fill in what happened and what took place. And so that's how we're looking at these. We're going to answer two questions tonight about God's plan. One of them is about Nineveh and their salvation. The other one is about God and his dealing with Jonah. We're going to see in Jonah somebody who did do God's will after fighting it, but we will notice that he did it with a bad spirit. By the way, I know Christians like that. They see the Christian life as a burden instead of a blessing. Now, I know we have to take up our cross. And I know we have to deny ourselves and all of that stuff. And there is sometimes we just have to soldier through. But really, when it comes to Christianity, we get the good stuff. Amen. We do. We get all the good stuff. And even the things that we don't like are good for us. Right. But we don't notice that. And we're going to see that. So God's going to speak tonight to two individuals, either an individual or a group. The first is the Ninevites. The second is Jonah. The Ninevites will listen. Jonah will kind of listen, but he'll kind of struggle. So let's get after it. Let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, we're going to answer this question. How was God's grace experienced? We saw how God's will was evaded in chapter 1. We saw how God's forgiveness was expressed in chapter 2. And now in chapter 3, we're going to see how God's grace was experienced. How was God's grace experienced? Let's do the little outline thing. Look at verse 1. Jonah, at the end of chapter 2, he got thrown up out of the belly of the whale, or fish. It was maybe a whale, I don't know. It was a big fish. And so now, It picks up here. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. So here's Jonah, spit up on dry land. He looks horrific. Probably his features were permanently marred. Okay, 3 days in digestive juices. Not good. Okay. And so now here he is. He spit up on dry land, and God gets right back at him. He gives the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, I think we have an idea what he told him, right? Because the first time he said, go to Nineveh, God spit him out and said, I'm pretty sure God wants him to get back to doing the thing he was supposed to be doing in the first place. How did it turn out? Let's look at verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking revival. I mean, they must have had a time. I mean, the Spirit of God must have come down. Jonah must have preached the first message. You know, the most famous message we probably know of is sinners in the hands of an angry God. How many of you have ever heard that? Jonathan Edwards, a couple hundred years ago. People still talk about that message. I mean, he must have preached a message that the paint peeled off the back wall. And these people all got right, and God, who was going to destroy them, doesn't destroy them. It's not quite like that, but it is God's grace that we see that leads to that. And I want us to notice a few things. Of course, God's grace was certainly experienced by the two individuals. The Ninevites experienced God's grace for the first time, and they got saved. And Jonah experienced God's grace really for a second time in God allowing him to go and fulfill his word, his will for his life. So I want to look at it. Jonah experienced grace and so did the Ninevites. Let me give you some thoughts from this chapter, okay? Letter A in your notes. His grace is seen when we overcome that which delayed us. And this is talking about Jonah. His grace is seen when we overcome that which delayed us. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Now, why does that sound familiar? Because that's what it says in chapter 1. And God's like, okay, you're right, it's good, but the message hasn't changed. What I expect of you has not changed. I want you to go to Nineveh. And he told him to go. Jonah gets another opportunity to serve God and obey God again. God spared Jonah from the fish and then confronted him again with a request that he ignored the first time. See, it doesn't change. So I mentioned last week, God, when you come back to God, you come back and the instructions are still there. If you leave God by disobedience, you come back to God by obedience. And God says, you're getting another shot. By the way, let me say this. Sometimes people think, well, you know, okay, I'll just go do my thing for a while and I'll come back and I'll be able to serve God. You may not be able to. See, people go, I know good people that they felt they had God's call in their life or God's touch or God wanted them to do something, and they went and did something stupid and they ruined that opportunity. You may not get that chance. Jonah was fortunate that he did get that chance. But by the way, he still paid for it, and he looked like a whale lunch, but he did pay. God didn't just relieve Jonah to get him out of distress. He wanted Jonah to get back what he wanted him to do. He wanted obedience. Obedience. If you've struggled in your life at any time as a Christian, you say, man, I just want to get back and I want to get closer to God and I want to have that feeling again. It's going to come through obedience. Amen. Right. See, God's going to want you to do what he still wanted you to do. His grace is no excuse for not doing that. God's will was still front and centered. By the way that he reacted to God in the first place, he ought to be thankful that God even spoke to him again. And he did. By the way, one of the tests of your relationship with God should be this. Does God speak to me as I read his word? Now you say, well, not as I read his word, but when I'm sleeping at night, God speaks to me. That's not God. And stay away from me, okay? I don't know what that is. That's not God. You just had a dream. God speaks through his word. Now, and I will say this. You don't, it's not always, you know, like, sometimes you open up the Bible and you read it and just stuff flies at you. And it's like, wow, this is good. Other times you read it, it's like, you're cloudy, okay? Is that just me? And no amount of coffee is going to wipe that away. Yeah. That's how it is sometimes. But if God does not fairly regularly encourage you, strengthen you, or show you something as you're reading his word, you need to get to that. You might need to make sure that you're somewhere quiet. You might want to make sure that you're looking for something and not just trying to check something off. Okay, it's not a to-do list. It's a relationship. And so you want God to speak to you. Jonah was fortunate that God did this. But sometimes there's a wall there if you're not careful. And it seems like I'm just not getting anything. Well, sometimes it's just normal. Not every day you're going to get a lot. Okay? But if the wall has been there for a while, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, is there something I've done to build a wall? You know, if we're bitter towards someone, God's going to have a hard time talking to us. Yes. Remember this, bitterness doesn't hurt the person you're bitter at. Bitterness hurts you. And when a person is bitter, it talks about that in Hebrews, it's going to affect you, and it's going to affect your relationship with God. That wasn't a gun. So if you have ill will, the best thing to do is get that right in your heart, not necessarily for the other person's sake, although that may happen. You need to do it for your sake. Could be bitterness. It could be a sin in your life. So there's something in your life that you know you're not right with God, and instead of dealing with it, you're just trying to bury it. Okay? That will keep God from speaking to you. It could be an association in your life. But anyway, let's understand that grace was seen in Jonah's life when he overcame that which delayed us. Now, my whole thing is, don't get delayed in God's will in the first place, but if you have been delayed in God's will, make sure you make a U-turn ASAP. The longer, now Jonah was not gone as long as some people are. But the longer you stay, the more you will end up, the more you will pay. End up pay. I'm going to make it rhyme there for a minute. So he saw his grace that way. Let her be. His grace is seen when we accept his second chance to deploy us. He said, go to Nineveh, and he told him what to do. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now you can understand, as I mentioned, why Jonah was not fired up about going to Nineveh. History tells us that they were known for their violence. They showed no mercy to their enemies. They impaled their victims alive on sharp poles. They would leave them to roast to death in the desert sun. If they went to a place where they won, they would behead the people, and they would build little pyramids outside of the city with the heads of the people they had just beat as a warning to others. They were very, very evil. And they were indiscriminate in who they killed in their battles. Young, old, it did not matter. Male, female, man, woman, child, they were very, very evil in that way. And so Jonah didn't agree with his assignment. We're going to see that in chapter 4. He kind of felt they should have God's punishment. And yet he still, give him a little credit, he did go. God had told him what to do, and now he was going to fulfill on that. Now, although Jonah's sin was evil in ditching God's will, it was not necessarily a sin of commission. In other words, doing something wrong. It was a sin of omission. I think you have a little thing there. Sin isn't just the bad things that we do. It is also the good things that we don't do. There are certain things God asks us to do. There are certain things God asks us not to do. And sometimes we think we're real good at not doing the things we're not supposed to do, but we're not good at doing the things that we are supposed to do. Amen. You can get backslid both ways. So I've mentioned one of my concerns with this whole virus thing is people are getting used to not going to church anymore. They're getting used to maybe getting a little shallow in their relationship. By the way, you can't just turn a relationship with God off and on. And so it's very important that we do what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we do wrong by not fulfilling the responsibilities we have to fulfill. I haven't mentioned this in years, but I remember we had a missionary come into our church over at Atlantic, the building we were at for about 9 months before they condemned it and tore it down. Peter Duke, we went to Bible college with him. I believe he was a missionary in Mexico. He gave this illustration. He said there was a man who was at a bar with some friends, and he's drunk, and he was driving home. And he was obviously, this is many years ago, so obviously, you know, not as, it's always a big issue, not as big as it is now, but he was swerving all over the place. He got pulled over by a police officer. Police officer realized he had been drinking, and the guy told him, he goes, look, I literally live two blocks from here. Showed him his ID, whatever. Said, it's late at night. There's no one out here. Just let me go. I can make the two blocks, and I won't do this. And the police officer let him go. A block later, he got into a car. He ran into a car, and he killed a woman. That woman was the missionary's mother. All because somebody didn't do wrong, but they did not fulfill their responsibility. Fulfilling responsibility is important. The things that God tells us to do is just as important to do as to not do the things God tells us not to do. And so that's very important. It may, as I mentioned before, it may not be a sin that you're committing. It could be one that you are omitting. Letter C. His grace is seen in quickly following where he directs us. Now, I like this. Again, if you look at this, so far Jonah's done everything right. Unfortunately, we're going to read chapter 4. So, verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In other words, he got there really fast. He got there a lot faster than it would have normally taken him to get there. I guess that time in the fish motivated him. He decided, I'm going to get back at it, so I better hustle at it. Jonah hurried. That's not the same as we think today. We like to put things off until later. How many people I've known that's like, you know, I'll serve God when I get a little older in life. I'll get serious about God later. That's a really bad, by the way, I used to have that philosophy. I never even went to church when I was younger. I'm like, you know, I'll think about God later. And then I got saved when I was in 10th grade, and I didn't do anything for several years. It's like, you know, once I get out of high school. Now, fortunately, I got out of high school early, and so I got to accelerate my game plan. But you know what? It could have been too late by then. And so it's when God tells us to do something, the best thing to do is not delay, but to get at it. The little point you have there. Why do we fight obedience even when we do delay? Isn't that funny? We'll be obedient, but we'll just fight it down to the very end. Like I just because we have the wrong mentality about it. Jonah hustled up. Letter D. Now we're going to switch to the Ninevites. His grace is seen in wholly receiving the message he delivered us. Now look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with a sackcloth and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let every beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let every one of them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And we see verse 10, and God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he said he would do, and he did it not. They listened to the message. These people that Jonah didn't want to even have anything to do with because they were so evil, probably thinking in his mind, they're not going to listen. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to be, you know, whatever. And as soon as they heard the message, the king hears about it, and he's like, we are in trouble with God. They all put on the sackcloth, the mourning, even the animals. And God sees their genuine turn, their genuine sorrow, and God turned from their evil way. And by the way, let's look at the message Jonah preached. You want to hear it? Here it is. Ready? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8 words. He doesn't even deserve a love offering. Okay, here's how the evangelistic meeting went. He stepped up. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. No invitation, no special music, no singing, no open your Bibles. I didn't have them then. But it's just like he kind of gave them the message. It's kind of like what he wanted to happen. His message, I'm just going to be honest with you, it stunk. But it was because of the messenger. But you know, the people there, in spite of the messenger, the people listened to the message. In spite of Jonah's attitude, the people tuned into what was said. By the way, that was not always true of pagan nations. Remember when Hezekiah and the Assyrians come? And the Assyrians are like, we've already taken down all these other countries and none of their gods could help them, and your God's not going to be able to help you. Remember Nebuchadnezzar told the guys, your God's not going to help you. They had disrespect for God because they worshiped pagan gods and they were wicked, just very, very, very cruel people. And yet this one said, we are in trouble. Hey, maybe that's why God sent him there in the first place. He knew that they were ready. And yet Jonah didn't want to go. They received this convoluted, very quick, and not very compassionate message. And yet they took it to heart. You never know what's going to happen. In fact, they responded to the word of God a lot better than Jonah did, right? Look at that on your notes. They responded to the message. How did Jonah do the first time? Fail. He didn't listen. They believed God. They realized their sin. That's why they were in sackcloth. It's like, we're wrong. We're mourning. The Bible says they reached for God. It says they cried mightily to God. They wanted help, and they wanted to get a hold of this God who said, who they heard when 40 days was going to destroy them. They said, we have got to get a hold of him. They removed their sin. Said it turned from their evil, and they were commanded to turn from their evil. And what happened? They received God's great grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a good thing. I think that's something Jonah should have been fired up about. Can you believe that? I went to these wicked people. I preached an 8-word message, and they all turned from their wicked ways. They reached out to God. By the way, he should have been there 3 days earlier. Nineveh was a pretty big city. I've heard estimates of 800,000. I wonder how many people died in those 3 days out of 800,000 that didn't get to hear the message, didn't get the opportunity to turn. But they responded to the message. Well, you know what would have been really good if that was the end of the message? Not mine, okay? The end of the book. If it ends at chapter 3, it's like, that was good stuff. I mean, he didn't want to go, and God used them, and everybody got saved. And we could imagine what chapter 4 would have been about. Jonah would have went around establishing churches. He would have stayed there and taught them the ways of God so that they can go forward. You know, discipleship. He would have stayed there and preached to them and taught them the laws of God and the commands of God so that they continue in their relationship with God. Man, we could have imagined all that. But then we go to chapter 4. Let's look at chapter 4. How was God's man exposed? Now we're going to see the deep-rooted problems, attitudes, issues that cause Jonah to not want to go to Nineveh in the first place and deliver some weak message that, if it wasn't for the grace of God, would have been ineffective. He was exposed. Here we go. Verse 10, remember verse 10? And God turned, he saw their ways, and he turned, and it was all good. Verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. One of my favorite days in church is Friend Day. I like Friend Day. So many new people come to church. So many people get saved. So many opportunities. I mean, the place is packed out. The auditorium's full, I forget what it's called now, patio's full, the courtyard's full. I never go home and say, I'm upset about that. Why did those people get saved? Why did all these people come trampling into church? That's why we have church. We're pretty excited when God does something. Man, I'm excited when one person gets saved. Man, I'm excited if anybody gets helped. Let's look at verse 1 again. But it displeased Jonah, not just a little bit. What's the next word? Exceedingly. And he was angry. Verse 11, God speaking, and should not I spare Jonah, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? I mean, it ends with a question mark. I mean, that's, to be honest with you, when it comes of the work of God, other than like Pentecost, and that's got to be pretty incredible considering the people he was dealing with. And yet the book ends with a question, almost a chastisement. Like, shouldn't I do this? What was the problem? Jonah had some issues. He's angry that God actually spared these people. And then it ends with a question mark. Like I mentioned, it should have been a story of rejoicing. What happened? Jonah obeyed, but grudgingly. In chapter 4, Jonah's no better than the prodigal's brother, who has a wrong attitude while he was doing God's will. Fact of the matter is, Jonah did not want to see them get delivered. He wanted to see them judged. The heart of the problem is always a problem of the heart. That's where Jonah's attitude was found. There were some issues that caused him not to want to go to Nineveh in the first place. He didn't want God to work. Look at the little thing there you have. Although Jonah did not obey God, he did not do it with right motives. Although Jonah did obey God, he did not do it with right motives or attitudes. By the way, that's the majority of Christians, right? They'll obey certain things, but like, why do I have to do that? Where's that coming from? It's like, if we're obeying the Bible, it should be a good thing. But it's an attitude. Sometimes we substitute our heart for God with actions for God. See, we'll do things and think we're good because of what we're doing on the outside, but yet on the inside, I was going to say we're garbage. We're dead man's bones. You understand? We're not right with God because of the things we do on the outside. A lady's not right with God because she dresses, modestly. We're not right with God because we bring our Bibles to church. We're not right with God because we don't drink. We're not right with God because we don't listen and watch filthy garbage. Now, by the way, those are all things we should do, should either do or not do. But those are things we do because we are having a relationship with God. That's the outflow. And we don't do those to change our standing with God. If you're saved, your standing with God is good, positionally. We do those because we want to live in practice what we are in position so we can please God.
Amen.
So our heart is very important. What was Jonah's problem? Well, Jonah was exposed by several of his problems. First, by blaming others for his faults. Jonah. Okay. He gets one credit for being honest with God. He doesn't get a credit for the things he says, though. Look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this is how you pray. And said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying while I was yet in my country? I mean, his concern was that God would actually save them.
Yep.
He said, God, I told you. That's why I didn't want to come. Okay, look, when we get back to soul winning, I guarantee you no one's going to come back from soul winning and say, man, my partner won someone to the Lord. I knew that was going to happen. I told God I didn't want to come because I was pretty sure someone was going to get saved. That's ridiculous. That's what he's saying. And then he's like, God, I told you. So because I told you and I knew this was going to happen, you should have made me go so it didn't happen. Okay, what kind of delusional mentality is that? What kind of reverse spirituality are we working on here? God definitely did not save the Ninevites because of Jonah. Jonah didn't have very much to do with that. He blamed others. By the way, don't we do that? We like to blame everybody for what's going on.
Yeah.
What's our society doing now? We're trying to transpose something that happened 150 years ago on people that are living today.
Yeah.
That is stupid.
Amen.
I had nothing to do with that. Don't come dropping that on me.
Amen.
Why do we want to live in the past? None of us were involved with it. Yes, we learn from the past so we don't repeat the past, but you're going to condemn us for the past? By the way, this just came to me. We spiritualize that too. Well, you know, I knew this pastor back 30 years ago and he did this. All independent fundamentalists must be bad. No, that's ridiculous.
Amen.
We didn't do that.
Yeah.
And we throw out the baby. I'll never go to a Baptist church because I heard of this pastor that did something bad. I heard of five that did something bad years ago. And a few today. But the vast majority of them aren't. Well, I know my friend, they went to this, and you go on the internet and you watch all this anti-Baptist garbage, yeah. And everybody's not like the idiots you see on the internet. Come on. But we do that. Blame game. That was a word of knowledge. Letter B, by condoning ourselves in our actions. Okay. What's this not my saying in my country? Then he just lays it out. Therefore, I fled before into Tarshish. That's why I left. You know what he's saying? I had, you know, now he's totally out of the fish mentality. Remember the prayer meeting in the belly of the fish? That was good. He forgot all about that. Now he's like, I was right to leave. I was justified in what I did. That's really what he is saying. And you saw his mentality right there in his message. It was about as compassionate as a kick in the head. It was about as touchy-feely as an Antifa meeting. He was feeling justified in his earlier actions because God did not act the way he wanted. Yeah. It's that, you know, that's what bitterness is. Well, they deserve it. Hey, look, I get irritated about a lot of things. And I would be afraid to be some of these politicians who are going to stand before God that are killing babies, pushing all this abhorrent immorality, and now targeting children. Yeah. I don't want to be them when they stand before God. Okay, but I'm not the one, I'm going to tell the truth, don't get me wrong, but God will deal with them, not me. Oh, yeah. I don't have to worry about it. Letter C, he was exposed by charging God for his anger. Okay. He's really getting upset about some really weird things. Verse 2, let's pick it up. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. That's not what you get mad at God about. By the way, he didn't have this philosophy when he was in the fish. Yeah, right. Right? How is it that we receive God's grace, but we don't want others to receive God's grace? Yeah. Now, I've kind of, especially in the times when we live, some of my thoughts have a tendency to slip out. That's okay. But look, I hope that everybody gets saved. We're going to be upset because God is gracious? Really? And he's slow to anger? How come we don't want God to treat other people the way that he treated us? See, people come to church like this, man, and we got saved out of a bad, you know, life, and man, God cleaned us up, and then someone else comes to church like, hey, whoa, 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 check that guy. Well, that's what we were saying when you came in. We're like, check that guy. Okay? Did you forget who you were?
Amen. Come on, preach.
Man, our compassion level for ourselves is a lot higher than we want God to be towards others. I hope God gives everybody a measure of grace. Amen. Charging God. He was upset with God's grace, God's mercy, God's patience, God's kindness, God giving him a second chance. Man, those are all things I'm kind of in on. Because Jonah was in left field. Letter D, he was exposed by illogical opinions in his defense. Now here's how he wraps it up. Here's how he responds to the revival. Ready? Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I've never went home after a really wonderful Sunday at church and said, where's the rope? I'm hanging myself. He's that distraught. Now, I understand. Remember when Elijah asked God to kill him because of Jezebel? I'm not saying he should have done that, but that's legitimate discouragement. But to be discouraged because a bunch of people got right with God, I don't comprehend that. I don't. It's just showing that Jonah's inward heart was not right. It wasn't. Although he followed God and was a prophet of God, he definitely did not have the heart of God. Like the Israelites, they prayed in the wilderness. God, kill us in the wilderness. Do you know God answered that prayer? Too bad they couldn't write it down on their prayer list. Hey, I died today. That's an answer to prayer. You'll catch that later. Thanks for coming. Letter E, he was exposed by ignoring truth in the thinking. Okay, God's just going to tell him the truth. God just listens. Okay, I wouldn't have listened to that. I mean, about three or four words in, I would have just said, stop it. Here's what God says, verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Let me explain that. Excuse me? You're upset about that? You think that's the right reason to be mad? Jonah was ignoring the truth that apparently he must have believed in chapter 2. And he totally ignored that truth in his thinking. He had no right to be angry because he was so far from the truth of God because of his heart condition that was just messed up. Letter F, by harboring desire for our own way. Now, okay, so here's how he's going to react to this. You ready? Dialogue with God. God goes, really, you have no right to be angry. It's almost God's way of saying, conversation, done. Sometimes you're going back and forth with somebody. It's like, all right, we're done here. Okay, we're done. Everything's been said that can't be said. Let's move on. So here's what Jonah did. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Now, God just said, I'm not going to destroy the city. Yeah. But Jonah still harbored hope that they would not renege on their commitment and God would take them out. So he sets up a booth and he's like, I'm going to hang out for a few days, you know, just to see what happens. Maybe God will take them out. Maybe they won't listen. Maybe they will, you know, really? Why wasn't he down in the city helping them to make their commitment firm? Why wasn't he down there helping them so they could follow through on what they said? Instead, he's up on the hill hoping that they don't follow through so that they still get taken out. Jonah had some issues. We do that. We have our own desire for our own thing. We want what we want even when we know that's not what God wants. Letter G, by ignoring principles that would instruct us. Verse 6, and the Lord prepared a great gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head. It was very hot to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad. God makes this plant and he prepares it. And the plant grows up quickly, immediately. And he's got this leaf and it's blocking the sun because it was very hot. And then verse 7, God's trying to teach him something. But God prepared a worm, and when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So the next morning, Jonah's like, I got this shade here. God makes a worm to kill the gourd, so the gourd dies. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Now, he cared more about a stupid plant than he did about the people of Nineveh. God's trying to teach him a truth here. God's like, wait, I prepared this. You're mad because of a stupid plant because now you're out in the sun? By the way, he put himself in the sun. He should have been down in the city helping those people. When we have a wrong heart attitude as Christians, man, we're all over the emotional map. We're saying things that make no sense. I've heard some of the most ridiculous things said by people because their heart isn't right and they're playing off of their emotions, and it's like, I don't even know where to go with that. Jonah's all upset. God was trying to teach him. By the way, in the story, everything listened to God but Jonah. The fish did, the mariners, the vine, the worm, the wind, the gourd, the Ninevites. The only one that didn't listen was Jonah. And he should have been the one. And then lastly, letter H, by misguided priorities that disrupt us. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh? And we already read the verse. He said, really, Jonah? Really? You're more concerned about a stupid plant than all these people that were on their way to hell? Now, before you laugh, our society cares more about animals than it does babies. It cares more about some off the wall. You know, we do the building, you got to have an environmental impact because there might be some cockroach that's on the endangered species list. I wish all cockroaches were on the endangered species list. We might hurt some, and I'm not saying go out and hurt animals. That's not my, but we'll legislate more to save animals than we will children. We'll put children in harm's way by letting them go to libraries where transvestites are reading stories to them. Many of whom ended up, who have deviant records. Oh, but man, cows are killing the universe. We're more concerned with the ozone layer. What is wrong with our society? I can't figure it out anymore except that revelation. Here we are. And that's why God's going to judge this world. What's the point? Look, Jonah was all over the map because he wasn't in tune with God. Yes, he was a prophet of God and kind of listened to God after he went through, but his heart was totally screwed up. Listen, you can walk around looking, acting, know the lingo, know everything, but if your heart's not right with God, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. Let's not be like Jonah. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the teachings here. Lord, Jonah should be a witness to us that we need to keep our hearts in tune with you. And Lord, we need to kill our own will. And we need to get the bitterness and the anger we have out towards others. And Lord, just be right in our thinking. Lord, if you can use Jonah to reach Nineveh, you can use us to reach others. But our heart must be right. Bless us now until we meet on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.